Hi, I'm John Lohr. Welcome to Money Culture for Women, the weekly podcast series from our charity, moneyculture.org. Our VIP guest today is writer and educator and a bunch of other things, Kristen Fox. And where do you start to interview Kristen? Well, as early as 2000 or so, she became an industry force as editor of and news director of the publication Hedge World. Kristen's a well-known writer and an advocate for women investors and investment managers. She founded Fox Inspires, Inc. to help women and managers navigate the ever-changing investment landscape. She also founded FinFoundHer to bring women entrepreneurs and investors together. And she has a 50 Shades of Green Capital, where she educates investors and entrepreneurs in finance. Around my world, she's best known as the personal human of Ilsa the Impudent, the Imp, the most famous Malamute on Facebook. Welcome, Kristen. Nice to have you.
Thank you, John. It's an honor to be here.
Well, your advocacy for women, especially women entrepreneurs, has become so well known. Can you tell us about FinFoundHer? I think we need to know more about it.
Sure. A couple of years ago, I started transitioning from the hedge fund space more into venture capital. And also, I met some extremely interesting women in the fintech space here in Chicago. And as I started to meet more people and talk to them, one of the things I realized is that women aren't getting funding, and most of the statistics on women entrepreneurs bears that out. And so with another couple of women, I started looking at why this is. And it isn't so much that their ideas don't deserve funding, because they certainly do. It has a lot more to do with them not understanding the funding practice, or process, I'm sorry. And that's something that's very easily fixed with education. So 2 years ago, we put together a two-day deep dive into the funding process. And that was really meant to help founders understand what they need to do when they approach an investor. And it was a lot more successful than we expected it to be. And I had women literally come up to me in tears and say, thank you for doing that. Nobody ever told us these things. And so we decided, okay, so there's a there. And as a result, we turned FinFoundHer into an actual business. And now we do an annual summit. And we bring in other investors. We bring in experts in the valuation process, attorneys who can speak to negotiating. With FinFoundHer, we do a series of regular lunch and learns that focus on the difficult topics, like how do you negotiate with investors, what are the things that should be in a term sheet, when should you walk away from a deal, and we talk about all money isn't necessarily the right money, and very much like what you're doing with Money Culture that I love so much, is we provide them with the vocabulary, because at the end of the day, it's really about understanding the words, and there's no great mystery to dealing with money. You just have to know the words that go with it.
Well, exactly. A lot of industry writers, myself included, have a tendency to gravitate toward industry jargon, and that doesn't help much. So, you know, what you're doing is a great help.
Well, industry jargon is tough, and then you get into acronyms, and people wind up drowning in alphabet soup. So that's really what we're trying to do, is to demystify the process and say, hey, okay, it's hard, but it's not impossible. And if you understand the concepts, then you can go for it. The other thing is that when it comes to raising capital, if you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it.
That is so true. What is, I love the title of one of your talks, 50 Shades of Green Capital. How does that fit in?
That actually came out of my own frustration with entrepreneurs who were saying, there isn't any money in this town, and this town is Chicago. They figure that they have to go to one of the coasts in order to raise capital, and that doesn't happen to be true. Yeah, there are only a certain amount of venture capital funds and everything else, and once you've exhausted the obvious sources, then, okay, so it doesn't seem like there's so much money there because they've all said no. But what we did was to go back to a lot of my friends, many of whom are angel investors, and say, okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell the truth. You're going to have a room full of founders, and you're going to tell them what they need to do in order to get your money. And if they do these things, then they never darken your doorstep again. And so 50 Shades really turned into an exercise in founder-funder brutal honesty. And they're a lot of fun. I pick different kinds of investors for each panel, and then we do a meet the press format where the investors just say what's on their minds. And sometimes we talk about due diligence. Sometimes we talk about the fact that just because we say no now doesn't mean no forever, or approaching the wrong investors. So that's really the direction that that went, and we decided that we liked it well enough and people were interested enough that we are actually turning it into a podcast series as well.
Oh, cool. Well, speaking of podcasts, you do a lot of writing and other media talking. You do blogs and articles. Where can we find it?
You can find things on All About Alpha, and very shortly you will also be able to find me on 50shadesofgreencapital.com.
Good. I know, Kristen, that we share a passion for education in general. What is the state of women and financial education today, in your opinion?
I think there's a lot of work to be done. For some reason, women missed the money education part of things, and it's deeply unfortunate because I see this in different generations. So right now in asset management, there's a giant wealth transfer, particularly in the baby boomer generation. And when you deal with the upper tiers of wealth, what happened is older women were told, don't you worry your pretty little head about it, we'll take care of this. And now as their spouses are dying off, what's happening is these women don't know anything about how to manage their money. And it's become a big problem because they're very easily fleeced. So that's where something like the money culture is really deeply beneficial, because you can go and experience the education in what I would call a safe space. So you don't have to worry about being the person who raises your hand and asks what you perceive to be the stupid question. You can go and access the information and educate yourself on it. And to me, that's incredible value. And it isn't just true of the baby boomer generation. It's also true of the younger generations, too. And a lot of it goes back to nobody ever gave them the vocabulary. They gave them things at a very high level, but nothing that was very practical.
Is there one thing in your best advice that women can do to help them navigate the financial investing? Where do you start?
I'd say they start with money culture, to be brutally honest. Because
I didn't pay for that comment.
No, and you also know that I don't say things to be nice.
Yes.
What you really need are the basics. And once you understand that, and it isn't a matter of you don't have to know how to run your own portfolio, you don't have to go out and learn to trade, read the Wall Street Journal every day so that you're abreast of things, but really what needs to happen is you have to understand the underpinnings of it. Because once you understand that, then you can go and hire and fire your advisors as is appropriate.
That's such an appropriate statement. It's not just hire, it's hire and fire. I know that well, sometimes after the fact.
If someone won't give you what you're asking for, and I had this happen with an advisor once, I had a specific stock in mind and I asked him to send me the research on it, and he wanted to send me research on a competitor instead because he felt that that competitor's stock was better, and I didn't particularly appreciate being treated as an idiot. So therefore, my response to him was, well, since you're not listening to me and you won't give me what I'm asking for, then I think we need to part ways. And I moved my money. I have an advantage because I come from financial services. So I knew enough to do that. But I think that the best thing that women can do is to educate themselves, understand what they want and what they need, and not to be afraid to say, you're fired.
That's a great piece of advice to leave women with. Do you have any parting comments, Kristen?
Nope. I think, honestly, that's the best thing that any woman can do for herself is to start with the money culture, educate herself, and read the Wall Street Journal every day, and really learn to be brave and bold about her finances. And
that's
thank you so much for everything that you're doing for these women.
Well, thank you. And you as well. Thanks so much for sharing your expertise with us today, Kristen. And love to have you on again. I'm sure we'll find things to chat about. Love to see you at your next summit and give my best to the IMP.
I will indeed. Thanks so much, John.